Hello, this is Linda Motley Muhammad with Soul in the City.
Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Linda Motley Muhammad with Soul in the City. And today my guest will be Mr. Frank Turner, who is an author, speaker, minister, mentor, and aftercare coordinator with Men of Valor Ministries, as well as an entrepreneur. Welcome, Frank. How are you?
I'm just fine. How are you doing, Linda?
I'm great. I'm greatly blessed. We are pleased to have you back on the program. You've been a great guest, and so we wanted to bring you back so that the people would really get to know who Frank is and some of his thoughts. You have authored.
Thank you.
Good.
I was just going to say thank you for having me back.
Sure. You've authored two books, and we kind of want to talk about those tonight. So would you tell us about your book, the title?
Well, yes. The first book I wrote is titled Rapture Your Destiny. The word rapture meaning ecstasy and delight. It's just being excited about something. And the most exciting thing in life is to realize your purpose. And, mainly what I discuss in that book is the true identity of our spirituality. Starting out with the biosphere, in other words, it makes a common sense when we understand what supports this physical earth. Therefore, it's easier to see what's behind our true spiritual essence. And my second book is titled Breaking the Curse from a Twisted Life, where I just kind of identify the things that hinder us in our destiny, or from experiencing our destiny.
Okay. Well, then the next question that I have for you is, what has been the inspiration for writing both of these books?
Actually, just my life experiences. Early on in my life, I felt like something was just missing. I was pretty good at some of the things that I did for a while. I used to be in the music industry, but still like this, I felt empty, like something wasn't there. And in the quest for life and the meaning of life, I just took off on the wrong road, thinking I knew how to live. And so I wound up becoming addicted to drugs, which I began to break the law to support that habit, and landed me in prison. And there I was able to do a lot of soul searching. And so when I accepted Christ and he revealed himself to me, I began to write about life experiences that I had. And so that's the source of what motivated me to write these books. So the first one I wrote during the time of my incarceration, and the second one I wrote about 2 years after I was released.
Okay. And who is your targeted audience? Who are you targeting the book for mostly?
Well, it's kind of a composite market. Composite meaning it's a variety of people. Mainly it's the human race, because everybody wants to know who they really are inside their skin. I think that any and every human being somewhere in their life journey thinks to themselves, who am I and what am I supposed to be doing on earth? And then the other market is anybody that is dealing with addiction, and it doesn't necessarily have to be drugs or alcohol, because addiction has a variety of personalities, man, whether it's been a workaholic or gambling or overeating or whatever one issue may be. So primarily the composite target market is the human race, anybody that wants to find their true identity in life, and anyone that's dealing with an addiction.
Okay. Well, and in your books, you seem to make some type of reference to spiritual warfare that can sometimes go on between people in their lifetime, dealing with certain things, addiction, life itself, life circumstances. Can you elaborate more of that on your book and how that kind of interacted and intertwined in the book?
Yeah, well, actually, I touch bases on that in both of my books, but I think it would have more of a reality in the second book, which is entitled Breaking the Curse from a Twisted Life. So speak about bad habits, addictions, and the generational curse. We are spiritual beings created in God's image, and God is spirit. And one of the most, I guess, profound things to understand is what is the definition of spirit or spirituality or spiritual? And it just means invisible reality. Now, we, in this day and time, when we start talking about something invisible, people think that you're not in your right mind. But if you look at it from a common sense perspective, you can take our thought life, for example. We know that our thoughts are real because of the volatility of the motion when we're thinking. But yet you can't taste, touch, or smell a thought because they're invisible. We can only see the outworking of them through a person's actions. And the same is true with our emotions. You know, we can feel them. Therefore, we know that they're real. We can feel it when we're sad. We can feel it when we're happy. We can feel it when we have compassion. But yet you can't taste, touch, or smell those. You can only see the effect of them through a person's responses. Same is true if you look at it from a physical perspective. When you see the leaves shaking on a tree, you know that's the effect of the wind, but you cannot see the wind. And so those are only a few tangible examples that give us understanding of spiritual reality. And there are personalities in the spiritual realm. God himself is a spirit, meaning that he is an invisible personality. So are his angels, so are Satan, and so are his demons. And the human race are pawns, as it were, who this spiritual battle is played out through. As I said earlier on, we are created in God's image, and our mind is kind of the control center. And what I mean is these spiritual beings communicate with us. We have a soul, which is ourself, so we have our own thoughts. And so we live out this spiritual conversation that is active inside of us, if that makes sense. But I explain that in detail, in clarity, in my new book, Breaking the Curse from a Twisted Life.
Okay, and you elaborate and you kind of talk about being a spiritual being, because I really believe that actually we're spiritual beings that inhabit the earth, and that a lot of the unseen is really more the reality of our life than the seen. So tell me what you think about that.
Well, first of all, I think exactly what the scripture says. You know, I believe the Bible, I believe everything in the Bible, even the maps in the back, you know. I have learned that a word is a medium by which thoughts are expressed. So therefore, in the Bible, we have the mind of God on a printed page. And he stated himself that he is spirit in John chapter 4, verse 24. He also says in Genesis, in the beginning of the chapters in Genesis, that he created man in his own image. And so we are spiritual beings, which is the true essence of our existence. And this is where healing begins across the spectrum in any area of life, whether it's addiction, whether it's domestic issues, financial issues. It starts with having an intimate relationship with God. And that's how we communicate with him. For example, the scripture teaches us that God's law is written in every human being's heart. Well, every human being probably cannot quote the Ten Commandments from memory. But all they know is when they get ready to do something that's not right, their conscience gives them an impression, yes or no. There's never any reasoning in between. When we begin to reason, it's our soul, that's us kicking in reasoning. But our conscience is the voice of our spirit, and it always gives us the impression, yes or no, and that's because God's law, the Ten Commandments, is written in every human being's heart, whether they're atheists or not. So that's the true essence of every human being. It's not only the true essence, it's the identicalness of every person that's on the face of the earth.
Okay, and that's very profound, actually. So, you know, your book kind of goes into some places of personal triumph and struggle and kind of elaborates on that. Is that kind of like where it brought the book forward, that how they birthed into existence? Just from your own
perspective? Yeah, as I began to experience victory over addiction and every area in my life that I was actually wrestling with as far as being a productive citizen in society, I knew that I had to tell somebody, because there were other people that were wrestling with the same issues that God had delivered me from. And so it's too much to say in a conversation. It's too much to say in a lesson or a few Bible studies. So I've been beginning to write in the book, you know. And both of these books are full of wisdom that's priceless, that will help a person find out who they are. It'll help guide them into their purpose. There are so many people that may have a college degree and an excellent job with excellent pay, but they're just not content because it's not what God created them to do, you know. And these books help steer you in that direction. They can be purchased from our website, www.raptureyourdestiny.com. Just log on and just feel free to read any of the links and the places where you can order them at.
Okay. It sounds like with the addiction and with all the struggles, a lot of it you elaborate, or you kind of bring up generational curses. You know, and I know some people, as they listen to this, may have be like, what are they talking about that? But kind of talk about generational curses for us so that we can have understanding, maybe for somebody who's never even heard that term before.
Well, once again, I want to say that when we start hearing biblical truths that are ancient, it sounds kind of silly, because we live in a society now that's technologically advanced. But that doesn't change the truth. For example, early on I spoke about God's commandments and how they're written in every human being's heart, whether they realize it or not. These commandments are spiritual. Early on, too, I gave some tangible examples of the reality of spiritual, meaning invisible phenomena. And so what I'm getting at is, when God created this earth, He set spiritual laws that are in the atmosphere. That's what I mean by they're invisible. It governs moral conduct. Okay? And so when these laws are violated, then they are consequences. And one of the most powerful consequences is to ignore the first commandment, which is, thou shalt have no other God before me. And as a result of violating that first commandment, there are consequences such as frustration in how to live. What I mean by that, then, it enhances the domestic violence. It enhances the peace that a person generally would have in their heart. It enhances the difficulties of finding employment. You know, this is not the true source, but this is a powerful or major element in these things. If you look at Deuteronomy chapter 28, it kind of identifies basically that these are curses. And so if I use the word curse, a person frowns on it. But if I start explaining some of the everyday experiences, then a person can identify with it and says, aha. Now, Linda, how that relates to generation to generation, those of us that know the biblical story is that at the outset, God had a very archangel. His name was Lucifer. And he thought he could exert his authority over God, and he was expelled from God's government. And so as a result, he knew that he was no match for God, so he had to come in. He had to get back at God through the object of God's love, which is the human race. I'm going somewhere now. You all just listening, bear with me. This will bless you. I promise you it will. And so these spiritual beings, they don't have a life and a death sentence or a span of life and death like the human race does. And so when a infant is born in that delivery room, when as soon as it comes out of its mother's womb, there is an evil spirit waiting to begin to hinder that child's life. And as that child grows older, this spirit adapts to the child's personality. And somewhere in the growth of that child, it becomes an identical personality to that child. And this is one of the ways that it begins to hinder the child's destiny. That's why Christ had to come to redeem us from the curse of the law meaning the Ten Commandments, which is explained earlier, and when we disregard those, then we experience difficulties in life. And so what happens when this, unless that person comes to God through Christ and begins to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, which is our whole purpose, meaning to have an intimate relationship with God, then that demon that has played in this person's thought life and emotions to keep them from their destiny, he hinders that person. And this, let's say this person dies without reaching their destiny. Well, then this demon is very familiar with that person's family. So that's one generation gone, and this person has birthed another child into the world, and this same demon takes off where he left off in the life of this other person with the new child. So it's passed on from generation to generation and generation until one of these generations finally acknowledged the lordship of Jesus Christ and comes to him and began to break that curse by becoming obedient to God and having an intimate relationship with him. So that's kind of what I speak about in a nutshell. It's just too detailed to really explain thoroughly, you know, in a talk show. So, again, I encourage the listeners to log on to my website and purchase the book. I promise you it will bless you. You will see the source of problems. Listen, from the projects to the White House, I speak about all of it, you know. And that's because spiritual illness, it has no demographics, you know. It doesn't make a difference if a person dropped out of school before they graduate, or they might have a Ph.D. in political science and a job in the White House. Spiritually sick is spiritually sick.
Yeah, and I do believe that to kind of bring it on an even note, because there may be some people that may have a difficult time with what you're saying. Not, you know, truth is truth. But there may be some that have a difficulty with receiving that, you know, there is a spirit that may be attached. Do you have any scriptural references for that?
Well, as I said earlier on, the reference is the Bible. Now, we have to understand who the true God is and what makes him the true God. We have a God that has worked through the human race since the beginning of time, and have confirmed it with signs and wonders following. And so most of the other quote-unquote religions, they don't have the confirmation that the true God has shown by working through the people. You know, for an example, let me give you some scripture. You asked for some sources to back it up. God spoke to Noah, because the imagination of every thought of the human race was continually evil. Genesis chapter 6. Evil meaning they were violating those commandments by ignoring an intimate relationship with God. And the world had to be judged. So God communicated with Noah and asked him to preach so the people would change their mind. That's what repent means. And for 120 years, this man preached, and nobody paid him attention, and they ignored it. And God told him to build a boat because he was going to destroy the world with a flood. And I could imagine back then people thought the man was insane because it had never rained. But at the end of his sentence of preaching, God caused it to rain, and he destroyed the whole world with a flood. So that's one incident that the Creator, the true God, confirmed his reality and what he's about through the working of a human being. The next one is when he caused Moses to part the Red Sea when Pharaoh was at after him, you know. And the most powerful manifestation of him showing who he is when he raised Jesus Christ from the dead, you know. So I want to encourage anybody that's having difficulty understanding the truth is one prayer that God will answer in a heartbeat, and that's, God, show me the truth. If any individual prays that to God with a sincere heart, I want to know the truth. Show me the truth. I promise you, he'll send somebody in your life to reveal himself to you through.
And I want to say amen to that. He will. He really will. I have a testimony about that he does do that. Then the next thing, you talked about addiction, and there may be listeners, there may be relatives of listeners whose family members may be suffering with addiction. Do you have any words that you would like to pass on, words of encouragement for those who are going through that?
Well, I will do my best. First, I want to say that the foundation of addiction is in every human being. Now, hear me well. That does not mean that every human being is an addict. That's not what I'm saying. But the foundation of an addict is in every human being. And that's because the source of addiction is a heart issue, meaning that everybody has a passion. Our spiritual heart is our passion. And without an active relationship with Almighty God, it makes it difficult to find out our true purpose in life. Now watch this. Everybody has a desire to be loved and accepted. Everybody on the face of the earth. And God is the one who created that emotion and that desire. But he is the only one that can fulfill it. You know, it doesn't come through our spouse. It is manifested and experienced through our spouse if God is the source, but he is the only one that can fulfill it. And so without that passion, the contentment of that passion being met, we will try to search for it in a person, people, place, thing, or drug or whatever, you know. And it's only a temporary contentment, because when that moment of gratification is over with, we're back where we started from. So basically, the true source of addiction is not having an intimate relationship with Almighty God. So I want to encourage those who are struggling with addiction is to come wholeheartedly to Christ. Find you a spiritually mature pastor, a church that's really active in the community, and get involved. Don't hesitate to go to the pastor and explain to him what you're wrestling with so that he can begin to place spiritual mature counseling in your life. If you are already in an intimate relationship with God, my next suggestion is to submit to spiritual counseling. For an example, God does heal supernaturally, but there's no miracle cure for the flesh. So what does the flesh mean? It means that when we're trying to fulfill the things of life the way we think it should be fulfilled, instead of following the mandates that God has established to enjoy them, you know. And so that's what my word to those who may be struggling with an addiction. Find you some spiritual mature counseling. Ask God to be in the midst of it, and just submit yourself to those teachings.
Very good words of encouragement. We have about 6 minutes on the program, and I kind of wanted to end the program on a more positive note. Not that it hasn't been positive. We've been encouraging people. But we are spirit beings, you know, being God, God in us. He's a spirit, and we're spirit beings. In your book you talk about that, being a spirit being on this earth, how we live that, how we walk that.
Well, my suggestions from the books are extremely powerful, and I would try to sum it up and make it simple, just in a statement. God sent somebody to prepare the way for Jesus. His name was John the Baptist, and he made a statement, the kingdom of God is at hand. Is meaning present tense. And when Jesus was baptized and the Holy Spirit descended from heaven in the form of a dove, Jesus began to proclaim the same statement. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, we're not talking about the last phase of heaven where the born again will experience, it's got streets of gold. But when we come to Christ now, we do begin to experience heaven on earth. It's just a different stage of God's plan. What I'm saying is that Jesus Christ has paved the way for us to experience the utmost out of life during this day and time. That doesn't mean that everything is a bed of roses, because sin and anger and other atrocities in the world. As a matter of fact, that's why the whole world is in the condition it is now, because the majority of the world is trying to live life without God. And as a result of us being the highest species that God created, the way we live, our immorality even affects the forces of nature. That's why we have the earthquakes that are so cataclysmic, the tsunamis, the civil wars, and the uproar, the economic condition that's not only in America but all over the world. We have famine all over the world. From Africa to right here in the United States, we have crops that are not even growing. They're just burning up because the summer heat is so hot and there's no rain. All of this are results of it, living life without God, And so I just want to encourage everyone to know that God loved us so much. He gave us a mind to think for ourselves, and that wisdom that he has is so deep that without an intimate relationship with him, we don't know how to live, and so our sin is causing us to self-destruct. But we can experience heaven on earth right now. So that's my word of encouragement. Again, I hope that you all will log on to my website, www.raptureyourdestiny.com. Follow the links to read a little more about some of the stuff that I discussed. You will learn more about my testimony, and you will see where you can order either or both of my books.
Well, Frank, we have about 2 minutes left in the program, and it'll take me a minute to close. But I just want you to talk to the audience. I know you talked to me about spiritual reality, and if you could do that briefly, what that is.
Well, spiritual reality is the only perspective that we can live by, and it's a way that God has established for us to see ourselves and to see life. And once we begin to grasp that, we will see that we are experiencing the meaning of life. And it's what everybody on the face of the earth is looking for. And so the frustration comes when we don't experience that. So that's what spiritual reality is. It is the source of every outworking that's on the face of this earth. In other words, listen, the spirit realm is the parent realm from which everything natural and material is giving birth. Everything that happens originates spiritually and is lived out physically. The mind is the battlefield, and the world is the battleground that the spiritual war is played out on. And so basically, that's what spiritual reality is. And Jesus came to open the blind eyes, blind meaning to understand that. See, and when we begin to understand that, it's not our imagination. We're seeing the kingdom of God in our mind's eye. So that's what spiritual reality actually is.
Okay, well, this is the end of our program. I'd like to thank our listeners, and I'd like to thank our guest, Mr. Frank Turner, today. It's been very enlightening. And I'd just like to leave the audience with knowing that God is. And because God is, you are. And welcome, and we'd like to hear you again, see you again on Soul in the City. Have a blessed day, and be blessed. Thanks, and bye. Thank you, Frank.
Well, you're welcome, Ms. Motley.
Okay, well, and that's the end of the program. See you again soon. We have a program coming up on the 24th with Pastors Mark and Patricia Douglas. We'll be talking about the power of the spoken word and the power of prayer. Thanks again, everybody, and see you soon. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.